Yeah, many of our desires are just kind of wishful thinking because we aren't really doing what it takes. So what we have to do, like maybe the guy's close to a sex addict, for instance, and he thinks his greatest desire is maybe to be a tennis star. But he puts a lot of attention on chasing the opposite sex and on the sexual energy. If he could shift some of that desire and passion, still keep what's needed to make life normal, but shift it over to his art, then he could perfect it even more. Napoleon Hill has taught an interesting thing in this aspect. Anyone ever read his book, Think and Grow Rich? How many? A good audience here. He says that many people do not succeed until they're past 40, because before the age of 40, their sexual energy is so high, it takes away their energy to accomplish other things. And then after 40, it goes down somewhat, and this frees up their attention and their desire, so to speak, so they can place attention on success a lot more than they can under 40. Now, the ancient Greeks kind of taught along this line, is they taught that they were into philosophy a lot. And the philosophers taught that it's best not to go into philosophy until you're like over 40 or so, because your attention is too much diverted by the sexual attraction when you're younger. It's hard to keep your mind on real philosophy. And they taught that when you get older, then you can keep your attention more on philosophy and dedicate your life to it a lot more, was what they taught. Now, the Buddhists taught something similar. When Buddha wanted to go off and become a great teacher, he was discouraged. They said, well, you're still young and vibrant and got all that sexual energy. You will not be able to put your attention on the spiritual in order to succeed. You need to wait till you're a little bit older and your sexual energy's died down a little bit. And Buddha says, well, I think I can control myself. Buddha was exceptional in the fact that he began his quest when he was a young man, still full of vital force. And unfortunately for the Buddhists, in his category, he had to be completely celibate. Yeah, celibate was the word I was looking for. So the poor guy really had to exercise a lot of self-control in his younger years. Whereas most Buddhists waited till they're a little bit older, so it wasn't quite so difficult for them. So the sexual energy is a very distracting energy, but if it's able to be channeled correctly, it's very powerful. And this is why Napoleon Hill teaches that around the age of 40, people take some of their sexual energy and he says they transmute it into a higher creative energy, so they can actually have greater power of creation in the physical world. Because sex is really a creative energy. It creates physical bodies. Okay, so if we shift, and Advent talks about this too, he talks about taking the energy of the sacral center and raising it to the throat. And he says when that energy is raised up to the throat in meditation, he says it gives people much more power to create, do creative things on the physical level. So that's an interesting thing. So it's a pretty potent force. And I noticed nobody here said they had a problem putting too much desire and attention on sex. So I know you guys are all celibate and everything. So, wimpy audience we got here. What's that?
I said 50 is the new 40.
Yeah, right. Good point. But anyway, this is a powerful, powerful energy. And like I say, life itself, for many people, the world is the most, takes up more desire than anything else. And what about it? One third of the world is close to starvation. And among these people, what do you think their desires are centered around? Yeah, like say in North Korea, you heard a while back that people were so hungry they were eating bark off of trees. what do you think their desire is? They're probably wishing they could just have a good dandelion to eat.
Yeah.
You know? Good hunk of lettuce.
Yeah. I was thinking along those lines that if we have everything like in this country, we have food, survival, freedom. We have a lot of things that basic needs taken care of, so we can put our attention, you know, on other things to succeed. But can you get to a point where you have so much that you just kind of get fat and lazy and you don't really succeed in anything? Like, it seems like a lot of people who really make it in some fields have been contracted somehow, have had things taken from them. Create a really strong desire to push out of that. So when you're contracted, a lot of times that creates a greater desire to succeed in something versus you have it all taken care of and you just don't succeed in anything.
Well, that's a good point. Now let's take these people that, for them, life itself, like people in North Korea, just survival, life and food. You know, those are two things occupy probably about 95% of their desire. Now, Kim Jong-il thinks it's him that they desire, you know. But he's probably about 0.001% of what their real desires. The real desires is just to stay alive and have enough food to eat. Now, let's say all of a sudden everything stabilizes over there and their life is under no threat and they got plenty of food. What happens to their desires?
Well, they're freed up to pursue.
Yeah, their desires are freed up. And the desire then shifts to a new arena. What would it shift to then? Then maybe they start thinking freedom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Power, happiness. They start thinking of all these other things. Now, let's say, well, we get back to sex here. When the sexual energy is freed up so we don't have all of our attention on it all the time, if you're close to a sex addict, or close to what I was when I was 18, then your attention is able to shift to something else. Where will it go to? And what does this mean? It means that you've got more desire energy for the creative process somewhere else. Now, let's say you're a congressman and you want power over everybody. You want to maintain your power, and all of a sudden you attain enlightenment and you're liberated from that. All of a sudden, power over other people isn't where it's at. And when you realize that, you release your desire for power. So where does that desire go?
Sex.
Where?
Sex.
Yeah. Okay. We've handled sex already. Okay. He's not a sex addict. And he's a congressman of the future, because none of them in the past have probably done it. But he's let the power go. He says, I'm free. If I'm not elected, fine. If I just serve one term, fine. I'm just going to do my job. I'm not after power anymore.
Okay.
So then, say that occupied that. With a typical somebody like in Congress, that's about at least a quarter of all his desires.
Sure.
So if he lets go of the desire for power, then he can shift it into security, love, knowledge, wisdom, honor, recreation, happiness, wealth, whatever he wants. Okay? So this is one of the keys to success. Is to figure out what we really want and then take the various areas where we have our desires centered and we release some of those desires. When those desires are really released, then it frees up that desire energy for what you really want to accomplish. Which for Larry is just to please Robin, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's what Roy is talking about. It's kind of, if you ever come across it, this is a really interesting presentation. Right? You know, a lot of times you say what you think you want, but it's not the truth.
Yeah.
I just wonder if there's any good psychological or good test you've ever come across that a person could really assess not what they say they want, but what in fact they truly want.
Yeah, maybe I ought to write one. I've written several quizzes like that.
Well, you did do some kind of question and answer.
Yeah, I did a bunch of them in the past, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is an interesting principle. Now, on the other hand, maybe, let's say, have you ever met anybody that's just really into peace?
What?
Peace. Mm-hmm. Their desire is for peace everywhere.
They smoke grass a lot.
Don't you just want to slap
them? And they don't want to argue with you. They don't want to discuss anything that could produce friction. And they're so much into peace and got so much desire for it that they really don't accomplish anything else. So even though peace is a wonderful thing, maybe that person needs to look at himself and they, you know, I need to kind of shift my attention a little bit and shift my desires over to other areas, and, you know, normal peace will just take care of itself. So it's pretty interesting how this works out.
But the thing is, a lot of people who are into peace, if you say something they don't like, ask about
political. Right, you'll find they aren't so into peace after all.
Very peaceful. They will attack. And then you wonder, are they covering up some anger issues with this peace thing? You know?
Yeah, that happens too sometimes.
Well, JJ, what if you get confused though? I mean, let's say that you can, you know, like in stated intent and actual intent, you can state that you want wealth, but the truth of the matter is you put most of your attention into love or relationship or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want something and you have a desire for something, but you end up doing something else, is it because you're not doing what you want to do, or is it because you really think something else is more important?
Well, it's like...
Yeah, subconsciously.
Like this... My contemplation on this explains to me why I'm not a wealthy man myself. Because I, you know, always wanted to be successful, but I have many other desires in the other direction. So you have a lot of different desires. It would be nice to be, everybody thinks it would be nice to have abundance, you know, physical abundance, nice car, nice home, eat nice food. Everybody wants that to a degree, but people want it to different degrees. So you can say, some people will say, well, I want, like they would join a multi-level organization. I want to get to the top of this multi-level organization. Well, they're enthused for a couple weeks and then it kind of dies down. And then, you know, other things become more important. The recreation, buying good food, life gets in the way as you're doing other things.
But they still want to be successful. They still want to be wealthy.
Right,
but
not enough of the energy. The people I met that really want to be wealthy but aren't, they're really maybe putting this much desire in that direction.
But the desire is...
And their other desires will manifest. They'll be in other areas. And so they just don't have enough desire energy to pull it off. And that's the problem with me. And still, right now, I don't have enough desire energy to be wealthy for wealth's sake. I just don't have it. I could accumulate it if I eliminated native desire in other areas. And George over here, a quest for knowledge. That's probably my greatest, one of my greatest desires, and quest to share the knowledge is another great desire. Quest to, be of service to my fellow men and bring some enlightenment, things like that. So I got all these altruistic things in the way. And I've noticed this throughout my life, that when I'm forced to concentrate on making a living, I put attention there, and then as soon as I get a little bit ahead, then I go back to... You know, the quest for knowledge type thing. I think I have plenty of ability to make a million if I wanted, but the desire is not there. The people that make a lot of money are people that have a lot of desire for the money and for what the money can buy. And when they have the desire for money and what money can buy, then they'll be like a magnet and almost attracted to them.
How do you weave in the secret?
Well, this is the secret, is that you have to have a high enough percentage. You just got one unit of desire. We don't have two units or three units, just one unit. And you have to use a good portion, good percentage of this unit directed toward what you really want to accomplish what you want.
The law of attraction.
If you don't have enough desire energy appropriated, you just won't have enough. Like to lift a weight. If to lift a 5-pound weight, you got to pull up with 5 pounds of strength. If you only got 4 pounds, you're not going to lift it. If you only got 4 pounds of desire, you're not going to accomplish a 5-pound project.
So then you have to make a decision. You have to choose.
You have to prioritize.
Well, you can have the desire, but you don't have the will, and that's what stops you.
Yeah, you must
prioritize.
If you
have both the desire and the will, then you'll.
But a lot of people.
Desire and energy.
Yeah, it has to be kind of directed desire, and yeah, will and purpose all play into it. If you have a strong purpose and a strong willpower connected with desire, then you can channel it. But see, the desire has to be channeled, and the only way you can gather enough desire energy is to have the will to temper it and channel it in the right direction.